And as we would go and cut wood in this property that was nearby where we lived, he would teach me a lot of different things, one of which was when we come to a certain place on the property where there was a corner, he'd show me how years ago when they surveyed, they would make three marks, which he called witness marks, in a tree nearby on the corner. And he said, that's a witness tree showing that nearby here is a corner. And he would take me and he would show me possibly a small pile of stones, but in that pile of stones in the center would stand one stone up above the rest, and he says that's the cornerstone that shows where the corner of the property is when they surveyed. If you walk out Elvira Road through the game lands, you see along the roadside many posts that are put there by the Montgomery Area Historical Society, and they have numbers on them. And if you go to the Historical Society, those numbers tell what building was there before they were destroyed when the government came in and took over that area, reminding us in all these things that something had happened there at one point in history. It was a testimony that something belonged to someone in particular. And it was to give directions in the future as to where something in particular was. Today we use things like global positioning systems or GPSs, satellite imagery, photographs, survey maps and things like that to find those locations to give us direction and remind us of the things that are no longer there anymore. In the ancient times, and even in the time of Joshua, about 1400 years before Christ, reminders of things that happened came in physical forms of stone or wooden edifices that they built, or posts, or maybe even land alterations and markings on permanent natural objects and articles such as trees and rocks and caves to remind them and also to say something happened here special. And the intention was the same as my grandfather had shown me in the cornerstones, that something important had happened there at some time in history. By the time we come to the Jordan crossing in chapter 4 of Joshua, several things are evident here with these people. First of all, they had decided to let the Lord lead them. Secondly, they had decided to let the Lord tell them what to do. And thirdly, they had decided to do what it was the Lord was telling them. And Joshua 3 tells us, the priest carrying the ark went into the flooded river before the people, and the water stopped flowing upriver, and the people crossed not over, not around, but through the Jordan on dry ground. And this is an important principle that we have to learn and listen and commit to our minds and our hearts, that when we are faced with difficult situations in our lives and the problems just seem to flood into our lives, the presence of the Lord doesn't just come to comfort us or to help us get over it. No, the presence of the Lord is there to lead us through. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand, He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. The people had crossed the Jordan as God had promised. The issue was behind them, so what now? It tells us in the fourth chapter, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men. And these were the men that had been talked about earlier in chapter 2 and 3. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. Remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel. Choose one man from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones. Go out in the middle of the river where the Ark of the Covenant stood and the water parted. Take a stone from that area and carry it with you to the far bank. Joshua called them together. He said, go over there and get a stone, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. So then in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You can tell them the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. Now I want to talk about this a little bit. It was important here that someone from each of the tribes went, because those 12 tribes were God's chosen people. And what God was trying to say is, I want you to know that every one of my chosen people are included. All right? Everyone in every tribe, this is going to be a symbolic event that we cross the Jordan. We're no longer in captivity. We're free, and the Jordan River is going to close behind us, sealing us off, giving us this promised land before us. And every one of my people are included in this new blessing. So one from each tribe, grab a stone. This is going to be a sign among you. This is going to be a marker, a beacon signifying where and what, like the cornerstone at the corner, a testimony of some event to help us remember something. This was going to be a pillar of testimony for the people that God saves His people. Not that God saves everyone. Not that God saves all His creation. But that God saves His people. We say, who are His people? John tells us, to those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Followers of Jesus Christ in the new covenant are God's chosen people. And God will save us in every event. It tells us that when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Not to the whole world, but a memorial to you personally to remember what I did for you. And what did I do? I cut off the waters. I karas in Hebrew, meaning to cut down, to destroy, or to consume. I destroyed the danger. I consumed any danger or any fear, anything that threatened you. I destroyed it and consumed it so that you could get to the other side and get past it. The reminder to the people was to be that when the Lord is present, remember the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of the Lord. The Ark went into the river separated and dammed up. A reminder that when the Lord is present, the issue will be consumed by the Lord. The stones would remind them that this is God's promise and that God is faithful. And every time they would see these stones, they would remember how great and powerful God was and will be. A reminder among them and to them, present and future. So they followed through. They did as Joshua commanded them. They took the 12 stones. They went over. The priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until they did everything the Lord had commanded. And the people hurried over. And as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. And when they did, the minute they stepped on dry ground, the Jordan resumed its flow and flood stage. And the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the ark of the testimony to come out of the Jordan. And he commanded them, and the priest came out. And no sooner they set their feet on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stages before. And there they were on the 10th day of the first month. Isn't that a coincidence? Just in time to celebrate the Passover. Let's see, what was the Passover? A reminder that the angel of death had passed over God's people. Let's see, what was the pillar? A reminder that God had just consumed and they had passed over into the promised land. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went from the Jordan. They camped at Gilgal, east of Jericho. And Joshua set up the stones. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan, consumed, dried up the Jordan, confused the Jordan, consumed it. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just as He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples and of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, in light of our anthem this morning, these people had been on the Lord's highway, the King's highway, for 40 years. We say, wait a minute. The King's highway is supposed to be a nice, smooth road. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The road's rocky. The road's dangerous. There are dangers along the way. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But here they were now, on the other side, seeing the water flowing behind them, free as God had promised them they would be, as he consumed the danger. The reason? So that all might know how strong God is, and so that his people would always revere him. How many of you this morning, when I said, how many of us had a great week this last week? All you could think of was the bad things that happened. Oh man, that one day, that one thing. Oh, I had this, I remember this. You know, that's what we do so often. Sadly, God's people fall victim to something called the sleeper effect. As our memory fades, we forget about God due to the mass infiltration into our minds of the things of this world. And the consequence of this is an emotional and spiritual roller coaster ride every time some issue comes up that seems too impossible to overcome. All right, we have this problem. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. Don't let me be sick. Oh, please, Lord, don't let me die. Okay. So we're healed. We're strong again. All right, thanks, Lord. We go on our way. We're going about our way. Something dangerous comes up again. Something happens in our lives. Oh, Lord, please, please, here I am, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, oh, God, please help me. Don't let this happen. All right, we get through it. The Lord gets us through it. He provides a way. We go on our way. Da-da-da-da-da. Next thing comes up. Oh, Lord, please, please, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. You see, we get in this emotional, spiritual roller coaster ride. Instead, when we're faced with these problems, we should say, Lord God, I know you did it before, and I know you're going to do it again, because I know that you're able to consume it. And I want to pass through on dry ground, even if you're at the door of death. The doctor says to you, you got cancer. God, I got cancer. I know that you're able to consume it. And I'm going through on dry ground. And even if that cancer gets the best of me, I'm still going through to the promised land. Oh, Lord, I just got that call. My teenage daughter's pregnant. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be so disgraced in the community. This is going to be terrible. God, you're in control of all things. Oh, Lord, my son's just been arrested. He's going to Julie. I'm so scared, Lord, of what's going to happen to him and what's going to happen to us. God, you're able to consume us. Because look what you did before in my life. You say, well, I can't look back and think of anything in particular. You were born, weren't you? The Lord God allowed you to live. He brought you into this world. He doesn't want you on that roller coaster ride. He wants you to say, God, when I look at what you've done, I'm able to go forward. But we forget those things. Our memory fades. And when these issues come up, we need to remember who our God is and what He's capable of, evidenced by what He's done. We need to be reminded that God does not help us find a way around the problem, that He's there with us in the middle of the problem, that He's not only comforts us, but He leads us through it and will lead us through it as He has faithfully done before. So what can I look to remember who God is and what God's capable of when I have these issues in my life? What can I do? Where can I look to? First of all, pull out some pictures of victory in your life, things that you've done, places that you've gone, and say, God, you were there. You were there. You were there. You saved me when? You saved me when? When I was there in the doctor's office, you were there. When my child got injured in the car accident, you were there. When my parents died, you were there. You brought me through every single time. And these photos of victory are not about how great we are, but about how great God is. Pull out your checkbook. It may not have anything in it at the present moment, but look back at all the times He provided for you financially to pay your bills. Take a look at your closets and your clothes, your home. When you sit down to eat, look at the table laid out before you. Look at your church. We come to hear God's word so that we're reminded of what God has done and can do and will do for His people. We celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion to remind us of what God has done for us. And one of the most important One of the most important is our pillar of salvation. That's our pillar of salvation. We don't worship it. It's not an idol. And for those who say that we practice idolatry because we have all these things in our church, I say no, we don't. We just have pillars of remembrance. We remember how God bore in a virgin, a baby named Jesus. How he went to the cross and died for our sins, and how God raised him from the dead. We remember the Holy Spirit. We remember that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We look over here and we see the things in Jesus' life that he endured, that he did, that the Holy Spirit came down on him. We remember in the window, the grapes, his blood shed for us. We remember the bread of life in his body as we see these things to remind us. But it cannot be just here on Sunday morning. It has to be in our lives every day. And one of my personal favorite is right here. This is a pillar of salvation for me. Here's God's promises. Here's his salvation. Here is his presence. And Psalm 46 tells us he's an ever-present help in trouble. John tells us, and Hebrews tells us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Isaiah tells us, when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. In Matthew, Jesus says, I am with you till the end of the age. I can look at this and I can say, I'm not alone in this. That God's with me. And we find a testimony of his power. He's the same God who provided a ship to save Noah. He's the same God who saved his servant Moses. He's the same God who led his people out of captivity into the promised land. He's the same people that parted the Red Sea and parted the Jordan River. He's the same God who provided the power when David slung the stone in faith at the giant Goliath and defeated Goliath. He's the same God who allowed his people to go into captivity but brought them back out working in the Emperor Cyrus. He's the same God who provided a way of salvation, who came in the form of Jesus Christ to save his people from their sins. He's the same God who met Paul on the road and spoke to him. He's the same God today, folks. And he's our God. He's not Allah. He's not Buddha. He's not the transcendental thinking that a positive mental attitude that I can do this, I can get through this. He's a personal God that says, come on. We're going to get through this. Because I'm going to consume them. And I'm going to provide a way. And it's important so that we don't forget something important in our lives. And we don't forget our identity. Whose are we? We are the people of the cross. To give us directions so we don't make the same mistakes twice. Joshua was sure he wasn't going to do it. The first time they made the mistake and came back and they didn't go in and take the land. The second time he said, I'm not making the same mistake twice. God is greater than all this. We're going in. Thirdly, to help us grow in our faith. We can look back a year from now and say, praise the Lord that God didn't take Eleanor Taylor's life. And what a great year it's been for her. Although it's been a battle, and life is a battle, but praise the Lord for what he's done. It's important to remember so the next time we might let the Lord lead. Let the Lord tell us what to do, and do what the Lord tells us. A reminder to us that the Lord is in control, that he consumed and will consume as we look back and say, it's a miracle that I even survived that. That he'll lead not over, not around, but right through, right down the middle, he's going to take you to the other side. And that's the kind of God that we have. That's the kind of God who led his people through the Jordan. That's the kind of God who provided a way of salvation for us in Jesus Christ. And this is our pillar of remembrance. We don't worship the cross. We worship the man who hung on the cross. And when we look at it, we remember that he hung on the cross for us, that we might enter the promised land, and that God consumed all in our lives that sought to overtake our lives, so that we might know peace in the promised land forever. Dear God, how wonderful it is that a God like you even looks down on us with mercy and compassion to provide a way through. Lord, there's going to be things this week that we're not able to deal with, but you are. There's going to be things this week that scare us, but you're not scared. There are going to be things this week that seem to overwhelm us and flood into our lives. When the mail comes, when the phone rings, when somebody drives in our driveway. But Lord, none of it's too big for you. I pray that you consume all these things in our lives in a special way, that we might look back on them and remember that you're a God who will lead us through and guide us to the other side. In Christ's name, amen. A little bit of a change in our closing hymn this morning. We're going to be singing number 127. So let's turn to 127 as we close this morning. 127.